Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Still Not Safe, Patient Safety and the Middle Managing of American Medicine, by Robert L. Wares and Kathleen M. Sutcliffe. Narrated by Mike Lenz. Publisher's note: this audiobook refers to figures and tables included in the print and ebook editions of the book. Preface. Medicine's simplified idea of science is not the creative social enterprise that sociologists and philosophers of science have described over the last 30, now 40 years, but rather the realist vision of physical certainty taught in grade school and presented in the media. Catherine Montgomery. Why this book? The American moral and social philosopher Eric Hoffer reportedly said that every great cause begins as a movement, becomes a business, and eventually degenerates into a racket. The reform movement to make health care safer is clearly a great cause, but patient safety efforts are increasingly following Hoffer's path. In 1999, the Institute of Medicine's To Err is Human report pushed patient safety onto the public stage in terms of crisis. The crisis atmosphere produced furious activity aimed at ambitious goals, for example, a 50% reduction in errors in 5 years. But the chain reaction that followed spent its energy quickly. The healthcare system, initially challenged by patient safety, embraced and ultimately swallowed it, effectively fending off the challenge of fundamental reform. Although safety activities are now part of every care delivery organization, large-scale safety interventions have shown little of the transformative effect hoped for, and the healthcare system as a whole remains intact and essentially undisturbed. Hazards from medical care seem just about as prevalent as they were in 2000 and earlier. In short, patient safety has been medicalized, brought under the authority and control of health professionals in ways that channel it into more familiar and less threatening pathways, allowing them to reassure the public that there is little to fear and little need for external intervention because, after all, health professionals, especially managers, have the situation well in hand. The result of this co-option has allowed assumptions about how accidents happen and how best to prevent, manage, or mitigate them to go unexamined and uninformed by current thinking in safety science, in part because examining those assumptions would challenge the authority of a managerial class of doctors and other health professionals whose power and control of healthcare processes has been steadily increasing. It has limited the depth of exploration of safety topics. Worse, it has resulted in the progressive loss of input and expertise from the very safety sciences, psychology, sociology, organizational behavior, human factors engineering, and others, that energized the founding of the patient safety movement with hopes for new approaches to hazards. This book explores the reasons for this emergence, breakthrough, and decline. It results from a Robert Wood Johnson Foundation-funded study of the evolution of the modern patient safety movement, from its beginnings to its present form, and constructively critiques an important social movement which has seemingly lost its way. It is not a general text on patient safety. There are many such texts available. Neither is it a comprehensive history of patient safety. It is instead an extended essay on the emergence and evolution of patient safety as a central concern in healthcare and public policy. It shows that patient safety emerged as a distinct locus of attention in a specific historical context, and that its rise to its present worldwide prominence was by no means a given, because social concerns are projections of collected sentiments, rather than simple mirrors of objective conditions in society. Thus, understanding how patient safety emerged, how and why it has evolved and changed as it has over time, and the accompanying rise in bureaucratic medicine are keys to understanding patient safety's current state, its character, strengths, and limitations. At a time when most agree that progress on safety has been slow or even stalled, understanding this course of development and the forces that led to it will be important for safety efforts in healthcare to break out of their current doldrums. Part 1. The Rise of Patient Safety, 1. Setting the stage. To extract something familiar from something unknown relieves, comforts, and satisfies us. With the unknown, one is confronted with danger, discomfort, and care. The first instinct is to abolish these painful states. Any explanation is better than none. Friedrich Nietzsche. On November 29, 1999, both NBC's and ABC's evening news programs led with stories focused on a document leaked from the National Academy of Sciences, prestigious Institute of Medicine, IOM. The leaked report, titled To Err is Human, TEIH, claimed that medical errors were a major killer of Americans. Peter Jennings of ABC News opened the broadcast ominously. We're going to begin tonight with a leading cause of death in America, medical mistakes. According to the National Academy of Sciences, tens of thousands of American people, American patients, are dying simply because mistakes are made in hospitals by doctors, by nurses, and by pharmacists. The Academy's study estimates today that more than 44,000 people, and perhaps as many as 120,000 people, die every year because people make mistakes. The next day, the story headlined the New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today, Los Angeles Times, London Sunday Times, and all three major network morning news programs. It was picked up that week by three major news magazines and multiple wire services. One estimate suggested that stories of medical error as a leading killer of Americans reached more than 100 million people within a week. The widespread attention was in part because of the report's dramatic language. More people die from medical errors than from motor vehicle accidents. The report combined startling projections of mortality, 44,000 to 98,000 annual deaths in hospitalized patients, with poignant stories of personal tragedies. It also promoted ambitious goals, aiming to break this cycle of inaction in a language of outrage. To settle for anything less than a 50% reduction in errors over 5 years would be irresponsible. The status quo is not acceptable and cannot be tolerated any longer. It is simply not acceptable that patients should be harmed. And must we wait another decade to be safe? The reaction to the report was frenetic. Organizations whose responsibilities were to ensure patient safety, including the Joint Commission and the National Quality Forum, appeared caught with their pants down and issued hastily assembled safety goals. The Clinton administration organized a task force, announced plans for a new Center for Patient Safety, and endorsed the goal of 50% reduction in errors by 2005. On examining their budget, they might have found that the administration had already funded a $20 million safety research effort in the current federal budget. These reactions fit the pattern of a moral panic, which occurs when a condition becomes understood by the public as an evil that poses an existential threat. Moral panics tend to arise during times of rapid social change, certainly the case for healthcare around the turn of the century, and are propped up in part by media attention and humans' natural tendency to tell stories in evocative terms. In the case of reporting around TEIH, the error framing and its vivid metaphors, including automobile and airline crashes, had clear dramatic intent to inject the undesirable yet historically tolerated problem of medical harm with the emotional urgency associated with an epidemic or similar health crisis. Moral panics also tend to be volatile, and they often disappear as quickly as they appear. Patient safety burst into the public sphere because TEIH identified medical errors as an insidious problem that needed to be fixed. But almost 20 years later, it's hard to tell if much progress has been made. The goal of a 50% reduction in errors has been forgotten. An expensive effort to use health information technology to improve safety is foundering in the United States and has been abandoned in the United Kingdom. There is general agreement, even among the most optimistic, that progress has been slow, while also conceding that the task is more difficult and complex than initially thought. The federal oversight program envisioned in the TEIH report a new agency with an eventual budget target of $100 million per year, similar in scope to the Apollo program, has failed to materialize in any effective way. A movement becalmed. Patient safety could most charitably be described today as a movement becalmed. A more critical observer might simply say that patient safety is dead as a reform effort. Why? Attributing the lack of progress to the difficulty of the task or the lack of adequate funding is overly simplistic, even though those problems are certainly real. Maybe the problem is that the patient safety movement itself has gotten things wrong. Its understandings and occasional conflation of concepts such as safety, harm, risks, and hazards are incomplete and simplistic, and as a result, its work has been grounded in assumptions and generalizations that are either wrong or lacking context. This view of the patient safety movement as fundamentally misled lacks popularity, even as the movement itself remains stalled. Only a few sources, most of them residing outside healthcare, have dared to advance such views. Sociologists studying the patient safety movement have noted the good intentions of the safety movement have quickly become a technology of hubris, criticizing it as unquestioning and uncritical of the prevailing orthodoxy, a reductionist approach to patient safety helmed by the medical establishment, mostly physicians. Sociologists, psychologists, and engineers have asserted that the narrow focus on preventing things from going wrong, as opposed to understanding and enhancing the ability to make them go right, is fundamentally limited for improving safety. For the most part, these critiques have appeared in literature not normally scanned by health professionals, but even when appearing in that literature, they have either been given lip service or ignored. The patient safety mainstream, the physician orthodoxy, has been remarkable for its lack of self-criticism, lolling in the kind of self-imposed blindness or a consensual neglect of issues that are not unknown, but rather ignored. However, the 15-year anniversary of TEIH forced the patient safety establishment to confront its meager progress. Early in 2015, at the World Innovation Summit for Health, an organization called Patient Safety Forum published the first inward-looking, reflective critique of the patient safety movement, describing it as simplistic and myopic, borrowing concepts from other industries, but applying them superficially and in isolation, without a comprehensive, systematic approach. It was followed by similar critiques from groups in the United Kingdom and Canada, both largely agreeing that the then-dominant approaches had not been successful and that change was required. In December 2015, the National Patient Safety Foundation's report on the state of patient safety was not as direct in its criticism, but it admitted that much of the effort of the previous 15 years had been misdirected and ineffective. A more recent analysis makes similar arguments. A story and an argument. This book tells the story of the patient safety movement and makes a case that it is misled. It traces the origins and emergence of patient safety as a concept, one which predates the celebrated TEIH report by more than a century, albeit under the different term medical harm. Patient safety emerged as a cause célèbre near the end of the 20th century, over a relatively short time, seemingly unbidden. This emergence and entry into the mainstream of public discourse was not a given, inherent in the nature of things. Rather, it resulted from a complex, changing web of relationships and understandings among practitioners, policymakers, and the public. That the topic's expanded presence in public discourse at the end of the 20th century was unquestionably tied to the report is undeniable. But the story of patient safety really involves the intermingling of three separate narratives. The first patient safety narrative is the one propagated by the medical and health science community, including physicians. This narrative came about from a desire, at least at the outset, to mitigate malpractice claims from patients and patients' families. It is primarily quantitative, with particular grounding in epidemiology, the medical study of the prevalence of medical injury or medical error, and generally takes the form of research reports. The second narrative, around patient safety, comes from the safety sciences, an eclectic mix of social sciences and engineering, including psychology, human factors engineering, sociology, and organizational behavior, all concerned with safety in a variety of high-risk activities. A third narrative is based largely in the mainstream popular media and consists of a smaller but highly influential group of dramatic and poignant accounts of medical harm, tragic personal stories of innocents injured by healthcare that was intended to help. It is notable for its effective content, in sharp distinction to the studied dispassion of the others. These narratives were published widely in academic journals, other research reports, and mainstream media. So why didn't the schools of thought join forces? For a brief period, they did. In 1991, the New England Journal of Medicine published a report called the Harvard Medical Practice Study, in which the physician authors used ideas from engineering, organization theory, psychology, and other social sciences to set measurement standards for tracking adverse medical events. It represented not just an encouraging leap forward in qualifying and quantifying medical errors, but also strong evidence for how interdisciplinary approaches could positively influence this larger societal discussion. This mingling was unfortunately brief. For all the potential of the Harvard Medical Practice Study, its publication coincided with a more sweeping trend in American medicine toward corporate, evidence-based practices aimed at cultivating efficiency and cost savings. This emphasis on evidence-based practice amounted to a profound industrialization and reorganization of American healthcare, one that threatened physicians' control of the industry. In this light, the representation of medical errors in the 1999 TEIH report, specifically its framing of the problem of medical harm as an error problem, one that could improve with better clinical policing, can be viewed as physicians' reassertion of managerial control over the medical sector, albeit at the expense of actual, effectual change. Physician interests around the governance and control of healthcare found the error framing appealing, not only because it created the public support and resources needed to establish the new regime of physician-led managerial control, but also because it challenged the authority of the earlier interdisciplinary regime. The historical power structure based on tenets of professionalism and clinical expertise. After all, if there were a large error problem, then clinical expertise and professionalism suddenly look unimportant and ineffective, while corporate bureaucratic solutions look appropriate and ready-made. In short, the patient safety movement that started on a positive foot with the Harvard report was metabolized by larger forces within healthcare, ones aimed tacitly at ensuring physician bureaucratic control. These changes were incremental. The pre-TEIH patient safety movement was influenced by developments in safety sciences, in part because the introduction of these new-to-healthcare theories and methods held the prospect of new modalities of improvement, approaches that had not yet been tried in healthcare, and thus raised hope for progress on what had been difficult and seemingly intractable problems. But health professionals' grasp of this material was superficial and instrumental at best. Fundamental aspects of successful safety practices in other domains were misunderstood, misapplied, mistranslated, or missed altogether, as health professionals encountered work whose basic assumptions are far removed from the realism and positivism of biomedicine. To make matters worse, this contact with the safety sciences occurred at a time when physicians' privileged status in the control of healthcare was being challenged. As physicians fought to maintain control of their profession and the industry, largely by becoming managers themselves, they were reluctant to share control of the patient safety reform effort with safety scientists, instead presuming that they could assume that role just as they had assumed managerial roles to successfully maintain a form of control over their practice. This led to a decrease in the involvement of safety scientists in patient safety and a failure to keep up with the evolving understandings in that field. These failures dovetailed with TEIH and its narrative reframing of harm into error. This resulted in the gradual dominance of the error problem in patient safety discourses, in sharp contrast to a decrease in concern with error in safety efforts and other hazardous domains. As such, after a brief negative reaction to the problem of medical failures, healthcare adopted and incorporated patient safety as a key goal by aligning it with the rationalizing agenda of physician-centered medicine, and, in doing so, advancing the progressive managerialism and industrialization of healthcare. This co-option transformed patient safety into something much less radical, less threatening, and more familiar by relocating the nidus of failure to the frontline workers who had erred, while simultaneously establishing it as a problem for managerial control. It is not a coincidence that this co-option allowed healthcare organizations and professionals to maintain their dominant roles in society and control over their own processes. This incorporation also came at a high cost. Rank-and-file clinicians, the front lines of care, viewed the progressively expanding managerial influence, whether aimed at safety, quality, or efficiency, as foreign, an incursion on professional autonomy and self-regulation, and reacted not with overt opposition, but with a resigned, minimally participatory indifference, so that the ability of the managerial systems to penetrate the working environment of medicine was negligible. Thus, organized safety efforts became yet another managerial initiative, a box to be ticked, peripheral to the main work of clinicians. All of this strongly contradicts the creation myth of the patient safety movement, in which medical error arose as a problem in the 20th century and was addressed managerially. By comparing the story in this book to the orthodox patient safety creation story, we can gain insights into why patient safety became an issue when it did, how health professionals came to dominate it, and why it has been less than successful. In addition, the story and the argument it advances have implications for the possible futures of patient safety, chiefly the question of what needs to be done to make progress. In particular, since the reform movement for patient safety has been stalled by the very industry it was attempting to reform, what is needed to create substantive progress toward safer care? A note on terminology. Healthcare is the largest single sector of most advanced economies, but it is far from monolithic. It is instead a heterogeneous, highly fragmented, multi-layered environment engaging in disparate activities not adequately represented by any single organization or label. Thus, referring to healthcare as if it were a single thing in the context of safety is an unfortunate but necessary notational convenience, given the absence of a suitably expressive term. Similarly, we refer to health professionals as if they were a single group, when in fact they are a conglomeration of sometimes competing, sometimes cooperating groups. Doctors, nurses, pharmacists, technicians, managers, and health services researchers. Within each group, a plethora of subgroups add to the complexity. We have tried to avoid using medicine as a label for all healthcare activity, given that the term is sometimes used to refer to physicians specifically. If we do use the term medicine, it is simply to avoid the frequent repetition of healthcare, and so should be understood to refer to healthcare in general. Where we intentionally limit discussion to physicians, we will use physicians or doctors rather than medicine. The terms harm, hazard, risk and error appear often in patient safety discussions, including this one, and they can also be confused. In this book, we've tried to use these concepts consistently. By harm, we mean physical, psychological, or emotional damage, without consideration of the morality or propriety of the actions leading to it. Although harm is by far the least problematic of these concepts, judgment about what constitutes harm are not straightforward, and are irretrievably bound up with the personal philosophies of both physician and patient. We will hear that harm is reconstructed and re-understood as circumstances change. Hazard and risk are both antonyms of safety. The primary definitions of hazard and risk are almost identical, so we use them as synonyms, expressing danger or the possibility of harm, an unwanted condition that may or may not occur. While risk is sometimes used in a probabilistic sense, that understanding is too restrictive for our purpose here. To a much greater extent than harm, what is considered risky or hazardous is ultimately a negotiated social product. Error is altogether different from hazard, risk, or harm. We will discuss the error concept at some length in Chapter 4. But at present, it is sufficient to note that harm, risk, and hazard are orthogonally independent of error. Harm, risk, or hazard can occur with or without error, and error can occur with or without harm. Finally, we use a notational affectation in generally placing the word error in scare quotes. This is a convention first used by Paul Fitz and his colleagues in their pioneering work on pilot error in 1947 to denote their suspicion of the term, which they sometimes refer to as so-called pilot error. We use that convention here to reinforce our suspicion of the error framing and to underscore the problematic role it has played in the evolution of patient safety and rise of bureaucratic medicine. 2. Beginnings. In the past, accidents were attributed to bad luck or the visitations of some unpropitious deity. A.G. Arbus and J.E. Carrick. The Institute of Medicine, IOM, issues many reports, more than 1,094 since 1998, about a wide variety of important medical and public health issues: deaths from violence, childhood obesity, health literacy, cancer care in children, substance abuse, genomics, professional education, disaster response, and healthcare quality. Most get at best a brief splash of media attention and are soon forgotten. Only a small fraction of social problems develop a celebrity status and become the dominant topics of political and social discourse. The vast majority are ignored or remain outside or barely within public consciousness. So why did the IOM's To Err Is Human, TEIH, achieve celebrity status and seemingly kick off a social movement aimed at improving the safety of healthcare, particularly when the report itself contained no new information, nothing that had not already been established and published decades before? Social scientists such as sociologist Herbert Bloomer point out that reform movements organize around social problems, but that those problems, such as medical harm, are projections of collective sentiments rather than simple mirrors of objective conditions, and so exist primarily in how they are defined and conceived of in society. After all, there are many problems in the world that could be perceived as social problems or spark reform movements, but do not. In fact, they are, for the most part, ignored. Thus, the meaning of harm due to healthcare and the rise of patient safety as the focus of a reform movement did not simply result from the existence of medical harm. It has been the subject of interpretation, negotiation, politics, interest groups, and power. Accordingly, it has been framed and understood differently at different times and by different groups. Patient Safety Foundations: Three Historical Backstories. The IOM report itself rests on a series of historical episodes. The first two concern the early development of safety thinking in healthcare and the safety sciences. The third concerns the stories of personal suffering and tragedy experienced not only by patients and their families, but also by caregivers caught up in an adverse event. These episodes contributed basic information about medical harm and also fueled the social processes through which that information became validated and accepted as evidence, interpreted and given a moral dimension, and ultimately incorporated as taken-for-granted knowledge that was used to justify reform. Healthcare. Healthcare's safety backstory reaches from classical times until about the 1950s. This period is characterized by intermittent insights into the hazards of healthcare, a few of which have endured to the present day. But, for the most part, they were one-off events, which were not mutually informative and did not result in a comprehensive or sustained body of thought.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?